All right. All right, let's go. Are you ready?
Ready, Freddy.
Are you ready? Cover your ears. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Anti-Shuffle Podcast, your local source for music. Wait, let me repeat that again. Your source for local news about the music scene in the Middle East, in the GCC, and even around the world and the globe. My name is Abdullah. I'm also known as Muzaj. I'm one of the co-hosts on this little podcast, this boutique podcast. With me, as always, is Mansoor.
How's it going? I like the way you framed it as a boutique podcast.
Yeah, you know, like anything that doesn't have a big following, anything that's kind of like, you know, working, you know, like, you know, kind of experimental work in progress. It's like, you know, like, yeah, it's boutique, okay? This is, it's a boutique podcast. I'm also rocking my Gibson Explorer today. Decided to bring out a new guitar. What do you think, Mansoor? You like it? I think this is your jam. I think this is your
I like your, it.
Right up your alley, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Gibson guitars. Is this like from what year was it? Like they had like quality issues, right? Is this like from that period?
Yeah. Listen, I'm not a historian. Like I don't know the exact details, but yeah, there was a period of time where I remember there was like the Kalamazoo factory. That was like the any guitar that comes out of the factory that era was like the best. And then something happened. They got a new CEO and the quality went down. They're still struggling with quality for sure. And this is a modern guitar. Like this is, I got this as a birthday gift like in 2022. So this is, I think it was made in 2021 or something like that, you know? So it's not like really old, but it's based on the 70s era Explorers. Of course, I changed the pickups. Yeah. I put some bare knuckles in here. But
is it like, are the quality issues that apparent or is it exaggerated?
Yeah, honestly, like for the amount of money, like, you know, this is, I mean, thankfully, listen, I have two Gibsons, right? I have this Explorer and I have an SG. Yeah. Both of them are modern, like they're not old or anything like that, and they're not vintage. And thankfully, I have no issues with them. There's no problems with them at all. But the videos that I've seen online when I was researching before I bought any Gibson guitars, like, yeah, for the amount of money you're paying, you shouldn't have these quality issues, like issues with the frets themselves, you know, the finish, the fit and finish of things. It's bad it's just because of the amount of money you're paying. And then, like, if you go look at the competitor that's made in Korea or Indonesia, the quality is better in some cases. So that's the reason. But they're doing better now, I think. They're doing better.
Yeah.
So that's that. You know what? We have some. I'm looking forward to the news segment today because we have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. So here we go. Absolutely. Yeah, that music is extremely loud even for me today. All right. Damn. This is the disappointing piece of news. I hated this news. It's like, when I was reading this headline, I was like, lay. So apparently, two members of Sleep Token got ill. They weren't able to perform. And they were scheduled to perform on the Tonight Show. Which Tonight Show do we know? Like, is it...
I don't know. No, it was a gig. It was a concert, right? You mean like...
I thought it was like a talk show thing. Tonight Show. It says Tonight Show.
No. They meant tonight's like Tonight's Show. Yeah.
Tonight's Show. Yeah. Okay. So I misunderstood. Damn. That is horrible. Yeah. The bands will play Tonight's Show at Hail 622 in Zurich, Switzerland. Oh, my God. I mean, this is some horrible news. Anyway, so they basically got ill, two members. So the bassist and the guitarist. So it's not even like...
Key members. You know,
it's not, yeah, it's key members of the band, right? Like key members of the performance. Mm. So it's the guitarist
and the vocal. Bass player.
Have fun.
Vocalist and.
Dude, it says here the bassist and guitarist and vocalist have fallen in.
Yeah, yeah. So,
so it's the vocalist will continue, but like the the bassist and the guitarist are didn't play. No, I'm getting confused here.
So basically, those two members are ill. And they're using backup tracks, you know, to cover for their inability to play.
Yeah. So basically, the performance was just like the vocalist there with like backing tracks and the drummer.
Yeah, I think the main vocalist is still there, but that guitarist is, I think, one of the backing vocalists.
Yeah.
So they're using backing tracks, which we talked about this before. You know me, I'm kind of I'm not in favor of backing tracks in that sense, but in a way that I kind of see where they're coming from. I mean, I know it's people came probably want to see the entire band, the entire lineup play and all that, but I mean, canceling a concert would be just would hold them back, you know what I mean? And it would probably cost them to cancel a gig. So maybe there's a gray area. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, it's so funny that you're pretty adamant about like people not using, musicians not using backing tracks. And I was like more forgiving in that sense. But I'm more forgiving in the sense that if it's used to support the performance. So like, let's say you're a band with one guitarist and you use, you know, an additional guitarist backing track to kind of, you know, make the performance sound bigger, that's fine with me. Or like if you're a vocalist and you have like some harmonies going on and you want to add it with backing track, that's fine as well. But outright replacing members, like I understand that there's a lot of cost that goes into setting up these performances, and like last minute getting ill like and canceling the show is a bigger cost on the band and the venue and whoever is organizing these events. But dude, I don't know, man. Like, I wouldn't even go. Like, if I find out, I mean, I don't even know when did they tell people, hey, you know, we're going to have missing members or we're going to using backing tracks. But if I had found out, I'd probably like just not go and ask for a refund or something. Cause like, that's not a show I'm interested to see. I'm not interested in going to see like two members half playing and then the other. Yeah. And half of the band. And it's something that I was very vocal about. And it happens here a lot in the local scene, but I kind of like, you know, you have to kind of let it go here because we have limited resources and limited people who are able to play certain instruments. So fine, I get it when an artist has to go on stage without. But still, like if there's a venue and money's being charged and like there's certain expectations, I don't know. I just, this sucks. Like this piece of news sucks to me. I hate it.
I mean, you're right though. You make a good point about like, having the option of getting a refund if two or more members are not going to play, you know? I just find it surprising that they couldn't find replacements because usually, like, a guitar tech can step in or, you know what I mean? Like, the bass tech could fill in for, like, those big bands.
Yeah.
Usually those guys know how to play the songs. Maybe they just need to rehearse a bit. And I think these guys are... you know, have like a gimmick, a stage gimmick, right? So you can just...
The mask, right? Like if they didn't say anything, they could have just got anyone. Hey man, anybody knows here how to play our songs? Here you go, you just put this mask on.
Nobody knows who they are. It's not like I'm going to see like a well-known guitarist. I mean, easy for us to say, right? But I'm just thinking out loud here. But yeah, usually there's always like somebody who knows how to play those songs, but could be wrong.
Dude, that's actually a really cool point. Like that's, you know, if you're a band that has that gimmick of wearing masks, like it's really easy to just like if someone gets sick or something, just just find anybody. Hey, who knows how to play these songs? Okay, you, dad. Yalla, just put this mask on. Yalla, all right, put the wardrobe on. And yalla, get on stage. Yalla. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It works to their advantage. But yeah, this, I hate this piece of news. I would have rather they canceled or gave people refunds. It sucks. It absolutely sucks. Anyways, big news. I mean, I don't know. It's not big, whatever. But for me, I mean, we talked about this earlier, I think in a couple of episodes ago, where I said Knock Loose needs to be nominated and at least win an award at some in the Grammys. Yeah. And it looks like they got nominated.
Yeah.
This best metal performance.
Your wish came true here.
Yeah.
Best metal performance,
general, right?
Yeah, so we have Gojira's, their performance from the Olympics, Judas Priest, Crown of Horns, Knocked Loose, the song Suffocate, Metallica's Screaming Suicide, and Spirit Box, Cellar Door.
Listen, I don't understand why Metallica's there. I looked up, I looked the category, okay? Apparently it's songs that came out from November 2023 until September 2024 or something like that.
Yeah.
This album, I think, came out before November. Why is it there? Why is their song? Like, I don't get it. Like, I didn't. Maybe I misread something. I was trying to understand why is Metallica's album there.
It's the performance, so it's the song. It's not the album.
So, but the song came out during that time, right?
Yeah.
So
maybe it was released as a, maybe it was released as a single, but yeah.
That's where they get you. That's where they get you. They probably released it like at a single later date or something just to squeeze it in for the nominations, right?
Yeah, but it's not even that good. Like, it was, you know what I mean? Like, we reviewed that album on the first, I think, or second episode. It was like such a hadi album, you know? Like, it's such a,
I mean,
whatever album.
Preaching to the choir. I mean, like, this just, again, showcases how archaic and stupid the Grammys are. They refuse to include actual bands that are worth highlighting. The whole point of this thing is to highlight and bring forward like new artists and new performances and encourage like fresh blood and things like that. But they refuse. They just have to bring Judas Priest. They have to bring Metallica. They have to somehow find a way to bring all these old legacy names back in.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, there's a bias towards those kind of artists. And maybe a part of it is getting... What do you call it? Like increasing ratings and viewership and all that and getting people to talk. But I don't know. It's just, and I'm not impressed by the list at all, honestly.
Yeah,
I don't know who I would vote for.
I'm happy. I would vote for either. I would vote for Knock Loose for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. They deserve it. Like they, I mean, if any band like in this list deserves a Grammy, it's Knock Loose. Again, I've already spoken about this, but the way that record just innovates in the metalcore scene and in the hardcore scene as well. Just Knock Loose as a band as well, their impact on, you know, bringing hardcore into the limelight, even though they're not really hardcore, but they're adjacent, they're within that area. So, you know, people listening to it became gateway for them to listen to other hardcore bands and get into that scene and get into that music. And they're just doing interesting, really interesting things with their music and production. So for me, it's definitely them, man. Like, they should definitely win this.
Yeah.
Well, and then again, when you go look at the list of best rock performances as well, like the Beatles, Now and Then. Apparently, this is like an EP that they released of songs that were recorded in 1971, and they re-released it in 2024. And here you go. They get to get nominated for best performance now just because they're the Beatles. It's just really incredibly annoying.
I love the Beatles, but come on.
Come on, exactly. Black Keys... great band as well. I don't know. I don't listen to them enough. But are you into the Black Keys?
I enjoy their music. I think they're one of those bands that defined, or I hate to say it, but I mean it's one of those bands in the 2000s that kind of, let's say, saved rock in a way.
Sure.
You know, they with like the White Stripes and you know, all those bands.
Yeah.
So I respect them. So, I wouldn't be, I'm not too upset about this. I think it's a deserved, well-deserved nomination. Green Day, on the other hand, I don't know, man. Green Day, come on. I'm not a fan of Green Day. I enjoy some of their older stuff, but...
Yeah. I mean, the last album I enjoyed for Green Day was Dookie. I mean, and that is an that iconic.
Was like a long time ago.
It's a million years ago. And it's one of the best records of all time. It's such a great record. Such a great blend of like punk and like pops, like a little bit of a poppiness to it, but not so poppy, not so punk, you know, like, I don't know. And it just does a great job of straddling that line. And it's just a great record. And ever since then, I've never been interested in listening to Green Day. Idols, Gift Horse. You know, when I first heard Idols, I enjoyed them and I thought they were really cool and sound interesting.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, like so many British, I don't know, like what do you call these bands? Like post-punk, like punk, British punk bands, whatever you want to call them, that sound exactly the same, with the same type of music and the same type of singing. Emil and the Sniffers, Idols, all these different bands that sound exactly the same. And I just, I'm no longer interested in them. And I think I listened to this record and I just, this new record, I forgot what it's called. It's nominated for Best Album, but I just did not enjoy it. I think you have Pearl Jam. You have Pearl Jam I think you bought it on record. And do you like this record?
I like this record. Honestly, it's a good record, but it's not even their best work. Honestly, Annie, look, it's a good album, but it has some filler on it, and it's not the best thing I heard all year. And I'm like, the album they released before it, which is called Gigaton, is way better. Like, it was 100 times better. This album, they used like kind of a mainstream rock and mainstream pop producer, Andrew Watt. He kind of changed their sound a bit. It sounds good, and he's a big Pearl Jam fan himself, but I don't know, something about this album was kind of missing for me, although I heard some really great tracks on it, so maybe they would be my choice to win. I'd vote for them, but when it comes to best rock album, I think I'd go for the Black Crowes.
The Black Crowes, huh?
Yeah. Because it was a stronger comeback.
You highlighted them in one of the episodes, I think.
It was way more fun to listen to. Or even Jack White. Like, he's more interesting than... Like, Pearl Jam, I wouldn't be upset, but I think others deserve it. I mean, Rolling Stones...
Get out of here. Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. What are we doing here, man? Are you telling me there's no rock albums that came out last year other than the role? God, it's just so boring. It's just so predictable and boring of this institute or whatever you want to call it, the Grammys.
I'm pretty sure they're going to win. Like, I have a strong feeling that they're going to give the award to the Rolling Stones for best rock album.
Yeah, for sure. They will. They have to. Yeah. They can't. They can't help themselves.
Yeah.
It's such an awful list. I'm pretty sure. Listen, there has to be like better rock albums than this, right? Like, it can't be Green Day.
I have one song for the
Fontaines. Like, go ahead. Yeah, I want to hear your suggestion.
King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Oh my God, dude!
Yeah, come on. They released like 10 albums in one year, and like they're all better than. You know what I mean?
There should be like every album should be on this list.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, like the body of work that they released in one year is better than this entire list of bands that's on this list right now. Oh my God, horrible. And then there's this best rock song. Saint Vincent is on this list as well. She was in a previous list as well. She's on best alternative music album list here. Interesting record. I don't know. Again, like none of these records I fell in love with or like at all, you know. I need to listen to this Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. I don't know if it's any good.
Yeah, it's all right, but it's not his best work. Yeah.
I need to listen to more of the Black Keys as well. That's definitely something I want to listen to again as well. And then finally, there's an interesting here, best boxed or special limited edition package. And there's a modern band here called Alpha Wolf that's on this list.
That's Kate a cool Bush. Name for a band. Never heard Alpha of Wolf. Him, but...
Yeah. I mean, they sound exactly like the name. Just like testosterone all of a sudden, you know, is going in your body. For
this sounds like, you know, like an Instagram account for like bodybuilders, you know, like Alpha. Yeah.
it's like the song that play, you know, like the Monster Energy drink.
Yeah.
That's the music that they would use, you know, for their ads or something. apparently there was
mind
also
games.
Especially
John Lennon.
John Lennon, Mind Games. Yeah, like this is so stupid. It's so bad. It's the refusal of the Grammys to acknowledge anything new, you know, like it's just annoying. It's annoying. It's really incredibly annoying.
Like, you remember the boomer scale thing?
Yeah.
the Grammys deserve like to be like at the top of the boomer scale.
Absolutely. Thing. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm looking for it's in February, so I mean, we should definitely like be paying attention to that as well and see like who wins the best metal performance. I bet you. I don't know why I have a feeling Gojira will get it.
Yeah, me too.
It's because of how, you know, impactful it was, and it's like the Olympics, and blah, blah, blah.
Man, probably.
But it should be Knock Loose. It's 100% should be Knock Loose. Oh, well. Let's stick around for the Grammys and see what happens. We'll see. We'll keep track of this. Did you see this news? Did you see this piece of news?
These guys are just... I never heard of him, by the way. Belushi Speedball.
Me neither. I don't think I can get through this.
Speaking of Green Day, by the way. Green Day is dookie. Tell us, what is this news about?
Okay. So, all right. So this band, Belushi Speedball, I've never heard of this band until this piece of news. Mm-hmm. But apparently, they are well known for releasing demastered versions of their songs. Yeah. So here, like if you're watching the podcast, I'm zooming in on a picture of the formats that they release their music. So you know how like, you know, you listen to music on your streaming platforms, on a CD, on vinyl, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they go the step ahead and they have this gimmick where they release their music on Nintendo 64 cartridges, a Sega CD, I don't know, CDs, VHS tapes, and other like really dead formats, 8-track, blah, blah, blah. It's like demastered version of their albums and songs.
How are they able to do that? Like those consoles are like, I think they're dead and out of production, but I could be wrong. I've seen like retro versions of like Super Nintendo and stuff getting sold, but are they still manufacturing like games for it? I don't know.
I mean, no, I don't think so. I mean, it'd be interesting to look into it, but basically there's, you know, you can go to any vintage store and like get yourself a console, right? And play it like that. But at the end of the day, you know, they can manufacture the cartridges. I'm sure they can find like, you can go anywhere and find someone to manufacture a cartridges for you.
Yeah.
But to me, I feel like this is more of a collector's item, right? Yeah, like you're not buying it to listen to it, you know. You could, but like it's mainly a collector item, you know. If I was a Nintendo 64, you know, kid as I was growing up, I'd probably like buy the Nintendo just for the heck of it, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, in any case, so that's their shtick. That's what they used to do for a long time, apparently. And then Fetch a Green Day comes in, and apparently they somehow encroach on this gimmick, and they started releasing demastered versions as well of their album Dookie for their 30th anniversary edition.
So they stole the idea, basically.
Basically, yeah. That what's being insinuated here is that they stole the idea from them. They stole the shtick from them. So they released it on floppy disks, on doorbells, wax cylinders, which is like, apparently I found out that there's a format.
Wax cylinders.
They used to listen to music on wax cylinders. Like it's a cylinder that's a wax and you put it in like this machine. And it's kind of like a vinyl. Okay. There's a pin that lands on the cylinder and then it just, the cylinder as it rolls, as it like rolls, it plays music and then pin like, you know, gets music out of the cylinder.
That's so interesting. I never knew that existed.
Yeah. That's, okay. I think it predates the vinyl, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways.
Well.
So they got pissed off about this, obviously. They didn't take too kindly to this. So what they ended up doing, they released like their most ridiculous format yet. It's I'm just looking in the face of the dog that made it. It's basically, they released a resin encased dog poo-poo that plays the latest single, their latest single.
Oh my
and
God.
This is the beautiful brown Labrador that made the poo-poo that, and you can buy it, like apparently they had it on auction on eBay and it got pulled because apparently you cannot sell, you know, feces on on eBay. So yeah, you know, it's just, I found it hilarious that they decided to kind of get back at them by releasing their single on an actual dookie. Made by Biscuit. The name of the dog is Biscuit. But
and then people ask if Rock is dead or not.
Of course not.
We have like Grammy Awards and we have these bands releasing albums on weird formats. And
yeah. Ingenuity is not dead, you know? Creativity is not dead at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I don't think I want to show the picture of the actual product. That's just I'm just gonna leave it at this cover here, like the box that it comes in, and it's covered in resin, guys. It's not like so there's no smell. There's like it's inside of a, you know, resin encasing. So it's the only thing that's coming out of is like a piece of speaker like that, and it just plays the single. Oh well. Oh my God, just found it hilarious. All right, that's it for news, dude. You wanna
let's talk music. Yes, please. Please.
All right, what do you got for us, buddy?
So, I struggled to find many good, you know, music to listen to
this week.
So yeah. I'm gonna keep it kind of simple here. I'm going to start with The Cure's Songs of a Lost World. The album is out. Yeah. Honestly, I thought it was a good album. Like, you know, it's a pretty strong comeback for The Cure. I have, you know, some parts of it reminded me of like the early stuff and, you know, their work from like Disintegration, that kind of era. So it was an interesting album. I have to let it sink in more, to be honest, but these guys haven't released an album in like what, 13 or 15 years, something like that. So
16 years or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a long time. So I thought it was a pretty strong comeback album, and they've been working on this for a while. I think they wanted to release it like 2 years ago, but I don't know. So they couldn't. I thought this was a pretty good album. So The Cure, Songs of a Lost World, pretty awesome.
I have to listen to this more, but I thought the opening track was pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
And the third track as well was pretty good. Otherwise I think, yeah, like you said, like it seems to be like a nice, a strong comeback for them.
Yeah. My other selection would be Sol Invicto. This is their EP called Loosely Aware. This is a super group. That was the word I'm looking for. This is a super group that's made up of members from Deftones, Sixth, Cypress Hill, all these different members. I thought it was pretty good. Like I came in with no expectations, even though like I'm a fan of the Deftones and Stephen Carpenter, the guitarist. plays on this one. It's very genty. He's a very he's really into like
Meshuggah
and like all those heavy bands. So this, he's really like showcasing like his genty side. I think he's playing like an 8-string guitar, right? That's what they play, right?
Yeah, he plays. I mean, he plays either 7 or 8 string. He has both.
Yeah,
but I don't know, like recently, what he's been playing mostly.
But this is pretty heavy. Like the guitar work is really heavy.
Yeah.
On this one.
Yeah.
So it's a three song EP. Very chuggy. Lots of chugging happening here, and the vocals are harsh all the time.
Yeah.
With some percussive work, you can hear some percussive work happening. So it's a pretty good like effort, but I still think they haven't discovered their sound yet. It seems like they're just knocking out like a few riffs and trying to play around with a few ideas. But I'm pretty interested to see where they go with this project, to be honest.
So you're on point with the idea that like, oh, you know, they still didn't seem to get their sound, because apparently these songs were demos that they had recorded back, or they had, you know, swimming around in their heads, like, or recording or something like that in 2016.
Yeah,
and then they brought it back, and I don't know if they re-recorded it or whatever it is. But yeah, you know, when I saw this, I was pretty excited, because when I saw the name Sixth, I was like, oh yeah. Sixth is like one of my all-time favorite bands, and we should... we need to like do an episode where we talk about like top bands or something like that, or unknown bands or something. I don't know. But in any case, Sixth is a pioneering math metal band. So they got the drummer from that band. And then they got like a percussionist from Cypress Hill. So that's why like you hear these percussion elements. And that's the most interesting part for me in this EP. Like I honestly found everything else pretty normal. Like it was pretty adi. But like the percussion elements, those little Cypress Hill percussion elements, those were really cool.
Yeah.
So definitely, yeah, looking forward to seeing like this project, you know, what else are they going to come up with, what comes next and stuff like that.
It does sound a bit mathy, I would say. Like that's how it's the
drumming.
It.
Yeah, I think it's the drumming mainly, like because of that drummer. Like Sixth is, you know, the type of drumming that they do and the music they play is not accessible at all. It's really difficult and it's very mathy. And Stephen Carpenter is like really into like this odd timing Meshuggah stuff. I think that's where it comes from, I guess.
So those are my two choices. Sorry guys, it's been kind of a slow week for me music wise. I heard some music from other bands, but I didn't like it. So I don't want to be a negative Nancy here, but
No, that's all right. I'll get into what I've been listening to. So this week. So I was jamming with a friend of mine, and when I was at his place, I noticed he had like a record collection, and one of them was Dredge. He had like a record from Dredge, so it made me want to go back and listen to their albums. So I was listening to two of the best records that they've released, and one of them is Catch Without Arms, and I think that that's the album that really put them on the map. And then there was the second album after that that came out, the Pariah, the what was it, the Pariah, the Something in the Delusion, and that record is honestly 10 out of 10, perfect front to back. Like there's nothing wrong with that record. Even the filler songs that are in it are amazing. It's like it's one of those bands that are incredible to listen to. And if you haven't heard Dredge, I honestly encourage you to go and listen to them. I don't know if they're on hiatus now, or if they haven't, you know, if they're broken up or if they're coming back. I'm not sure. But incredible records. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, I have to give them a listen. I haven't heard their music in a long time, but I don't remember getting really into it. I thought they were pretty interesting with the songwriting and everything, but I need to give them another revisit. Like
dude, go listen to the Pariah, the Delusion. That record is incredible. Like honestly, it's a 10 out of 10 record, and it's going to be one of your favorite records if you go listen to it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that.
Spy, one of my favorite like modern punk bands, released a new single, and they're ramping up to release a follow-up to their album Satisfaction that was released was it released last year? Last year, I think. Yeah, it was released last year. On the Brink. And again, coming back strong, you know, like at this point, you know, if you're listening to a spy track, you know what you're getting into. Just really good, aggressive, like hardcore punk that I'm just really into. Again, I'm really into the production. I'm really into the sound. I'm really into the simple, like yet aggressive style of music that they write. It's just really cool. And I'm really looking forward to this would have been my highlight of the week, except there's another release that I really got into. So just a really cool song all around. Up next, apparently, so pioneering grindcore band, Wormrot.
Yeah.
Out of Singapore. Released a apparently like this is like a collection of demos, unreleased songs and things like that. I really love their previous record, or the record, the last full album they released called Hiss. That was such an incredible grindcore record. It has such range as well, like it does like grindcore and like a couple of other things. And it's just so gnarly and nasty sounding as well. This is okay. Again, at the end of the day, it's just a collection of unreleased songs and stuff like that. So it's like, I didn't have my highs, my hopes high up for it. And and then honestly, like the other records that I listened to is there was a new split by a band called See You Next Tuesday and Meth. Honestly, you know, maybe I need to go a bit listen back to it, but it just, you know, I love the math metal stuff. I listen to the Lillinger Escape Plan, and I listen to Sixth, and I listen to these bands, but like, I don't vibe too much with See You Next Tuesday. Counterparts released a new record as well, an EP. And I really like Counterparts. I like the previous record that they released. It sounded very melodic hardcore, which I really enjoyed it. But this record seems to be leaning more towards a metalcore sound, or this EP seems to be leaning more towards a metalcore sound. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I need to listen to it maybe a couple of times. I just didn't like hit me as much as their previous record, that hard, you know, that melodic hardcore sound.
Yeah.
And then I listened to this weird album by a band called The Body, and it's like this two band experimental rock or metal band, whatever you want to call them. And it's just, I don't know. I mean, they do a lot of collaborations, and some of the collaborations that they do are interesting and they sound good, but I don't know. Just too ambient, too weird to me. I don't know. I didn't really get into it.
I listened to some of their older stuff back then, and I couldn't get into them as well. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just, you know, when it's just, it didn't resonate with me at all. Type, let's get into stuff that we want to highlight for this week.
Okay.
Something that stood out. So, what was yours? What was yours this week, Mansoor?
So, my choice for this week is Beardfish, their album Songs for Beating Hearts. This is a prog band from Sweden. They sound very much like a 70s prog band. Like if you told me like this is a band from, like this is a 70s record, I would have believed you, because it sounds a lot like you know, like a band like Camel or Yes, that kind of has that kind of vibe.
Even the album cover kind of has that vibe.
Yeah. It's a very light listen. Like I thought it was kind of enjoyable, but some filler as well. But interesting instrumentation and guitar work, and yeah, it's one. If you're in the mood for like some 70s, a modern prog album, maybe you'd be into this. If you're not like in the mood for like something heavy like Opeth or Dream Theater or something like that, you want to just something more laid back and relaxed. This is a pretty interesting listen, then, I would say.
Yeah, definitely they have talent and interesting composition and music writing. Especially like it kicks off for me on the second track. I feel like that's where it really like just gets into the proggy stuff. But I don't know. I just, nothing stood out for me that much as well for me to, you know, to encourage me to go back and listen to it, you know. And I don't get what a beard fish. What is a beard fish? You know,
maybe it's a type of fish, an undiscovered species or it's a newly discovered type of fish.
I don't know. It's creeping me out. I don't know. I just don't like it. but yeah, let me talk a little bit about what I enjoyed this week actually. So this band that I really like called we talked about them before, Tribal Gaze. Tribal Gaze is like a modern death metal band in the vein of, you know, Gatecreeper, in the vein of I don't know, Creeping Death, Senegwizigabog, you know, all these, you know, modern examples of modern death metal bands. And they're really good. Like, I really like this record, specifically this record, The Nine Choirs, that they released in 2022. It's really, really good. They're releasing a split with another well-known modern kind of death metal band known as Dead Body. And this is the latest single they released from the split. It's called Let His Servants Starve. Great track. You know, they do the modern death metal thing pretty well. Production-wise, it sounds great as well. It's the second single they released from the split. And I don't know, I just enjoy the heck out of this. I just really, you know, I couldn't get into old school death metal. Like, I've never been, like, during when I was listening to music, like, during the era of, like, old school death metal, like, you know, your Morbid Angels and things like that. I never really got into that stuff. But I'm really getting into like this modern, these modern death metal bands. I just really like the way they sound. I like the composition, the music writing, the production value as well is up there for me. So yeah, it's been a great year actually for these kind of releases, like Undeath as well released a really great record this year. So yeah, it's a good year for modern death metal bands. And I really like this split. I'm looking forward. It's coming out like, on the 15th of November.
This is a cool track. I liked it. Need to give it a few more listens, but I first impression was good.
Yeah. I think next week I'll probably be talking about the other split from this release as well by the band Dead Body. So it's interesting. Like usually when bands do a split, you know, I mean, there's no specific rule, right? But sometimes usually the split would be like, oh, you know, two songs, written by, you know, this band, but it's, you know, played by the other band, and then, you know, they would collectively write songs together or something like that. Just like the See You Next Tuesday split that I was talking about, apparently they went about it in an interesting way. What they did was...
Can you explain later to our listeners what a split is, for those who are not aware?
And correct me if I'm wrong about this, Mansoor, as well, by the way. So basically a split release is usually two bands will get together and they will collaborate on an EP. Like it's a short form, kind of like four songs, two songs written by one band, two songs written by the other band. So in this case, it's five songs written by Dead Body and then three songs written by Tribal Gaze. In some cases as well, you know, they will do some weird collaborative stuff. So I'll use the example of the song of the EP that the split that I was talking about during our music segment, which is by See You Next Tuesday and Meth, where they basically, what they ended up doing is that each band wrote songs. And then all they did was they sent the drum tracks to the other band. And they asked the other band to write songs to these drum tracks.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of a weird collaboration. And then whatever came up, they just released it.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to it. I have on another window, I have the tab to pre-order the the record open just because I want to do it after we're done with recording. But in any case, that's it for me this week.
Hopefully we'll have more music to talk about next week, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there should be like a couple of releases coming up or something, man.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, this is coming out next week, right?
Next we'll talk about it.
15th, yeah, exactly. So hopefully, like, that split will come out and we can talk about that. Otherwise, yeah, that's it for us today. You got anything else to add, Mansoor?
No, thanks, guys. Check us out. Stick around. Like, share, subscribe. You know the drill. We'll see you next week.
See you next week, guys. Bye-bye.